We're going to take a few minutes and look at the Torah portion together. So I want to ask you to open up your scriptures to the book of Exodus. And we'll look at Exodus 10, but let's begin with prayer. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Asher Kidshenu B'Mitzvotav V'Tzivanu La'Asok B'Divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. God's plan in history is pretty simple. He wants to raise up a man of faith who joins with a woman of faith. Together they have a family filled with faith that becomes a people of faith. This is the story of Abraham and Sarah. The story of Isaac and his family, of Jacob, who became Israel. They become a people of faith, and they're a community of faith that then touches people from other nations because God has a plan to use the children of Israel as a faithful nation to reach all the nations of the world with the good news of Messiah and to make a world that's actually filled with faith, faith in God. And if we remember this, it will help us see how God was working during the time of Moses and also how he was working during the time of the apostles. And that will help us understand how God wants to work in our time. You see, God has a plan that touches young and old, men and women, boys and girls. And when we think about what God wants to do in our lives, we cannot think only as individuals. We need to develop vision that includes our children. It includes our grandchildren, it includes young and old men and women, so that everyone is included, because this is the essential idea of Kahal. It's a community that includes all the ages, both male and female, and it's integral. Kahal is integral to having a clear vision for your life and for the life of this congregation. This week we read about the importance of everyone going out of Egypt as a kahal, as a community, a congregation of all generations. And in Exodus 10, Pharaoh's ready to relent to Moses, ready to relent to Aaron and the Lord. But he wants still one more thing. He wants to control the Jewish people. So let's read in Exodus 10, verse 8. It says, "So Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh, and he said to them, you go serve the Lord your God." And then he asked a question, "Who are the ones that are going with you?" And Moses said, "We'll go with our young and our old." Say that with me. With our young and with our old. With our sons and our daughters. Say that with me. With our sons and with our daughters. With our flocks and our herds. Say that with me. With our flocks and our herds, we shall go, because we must hold a feast to the Lord. Now we're in verse 10, and Pharaoh says to them, the English translation is a little complicated. To find a good one was challenging, but I think this captures it. The Lord would have to be with you if I would ever let you take your women and children out of here. It would take the Lord being with you for that to happen. That's a way of Pharaoh saying, no way. And he says, "I know you're up to nothing good." And then he says, "Not so," in verse 11. Not so, just say it this way, no way. No way. So Pharaoh is saying, no way. And he says, "Go now, the men among you, and you serve the Lord, because that's what you want to do." And then they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. So Moses and Aaron are bringing a word at the moment when Pharaoh is finally ready to let the guys go out. Moses ups the ante at God's direction and says, listen, it's not just the men who want to go. It's the women. It's not just the women. It's the children. It's not just the children. It's the goats, the sheep. Everything we got is going to go. And at that point, Moses hears Pharaoh say, no way. No way you're getting out of here. No way. Now, if we look at the first verse in this chapter 10, verses 1 and beyond, we'll see that God has a plan to use Pharaoh's hard-heartedness. And this may be useful to some of you, because most of the time we want things to get easier as we're obeying the Lord, right? We think, I'm obeying the Lord, the grace of God is on me, it should get easier as I'm walking with him. We should be able to say, Lord, I did what you told me to do, and so now you need to go ahead of me and make it easier. But God sometimes has a plan to make it harder. How many of you have experienced that? Let's read in Exodus 10, starting in verse 1. Adonai said to Moshe, go. Now the Hebrew there is bo. Say that with me. Bo. Go to Pharaoh, because I've made him and his servants hard-hearted. Go to him. I want you to go to someone who's going to resist you. I want you to go to someone who's not open to you. And I have a plan. Go to him so that I can demonstrate these signs of mine among them. That's the plan. So that, look at this, verse 2. So that you can tell your son and your grandson, your children and your grandchildren about what I did to Egypt, and about my signs that I demonstrated among them, and so that you will all know that I am Adonai. You see, sometimes God will bring us into new chapters, and he already has a plan with certain conditions and certain details in mind. Moses had to do his part. He had to go, right? He could have said, well, listen, Lord, I'm ready to go when Pharaoh's ready to receive me. But the Lord says, no, I want you to go when Pharaoh's not ready to receive you, because that's going to make it more interesting. It's part of my plan. It turns out that even though Moses had to do his part, it included some things that he would not have chosen for himself. He had to keep going to Pharaoh. He had to keep going back to the one who wanted to destroy, to the one who hated the Jewish people, to the one who rejected the God of Israel. And he had to pay attention to God's timing and God's sequence. God would say, okay, I want you to go and say this now. Don't tell him something else. Tell him exactly this. There may be times in your life when the Lord has a plan for you and he knows the details. And he'll say, I want you to do it like this. And you might think, can't we just jump to the end? And his answer is, no, we can't. Moses needed to do his part, God needed to do his part, and Israel needed to do their part. Now, God's plan included Pharaoh's hard-heartedness, Pharaoh's resistance. God's plan, according to Exodus 10, would touch the children of Israel as a whole people, so powerfully that they would tell their children and grandchildren about it in the future. So powerfully that they would have a testimony as a nation to the next generations. You see, it's wonderful when God touches an individual. It's fantastic. You probably got stories of how God has answered prayers for you, things he's done, ways he's rescued you, ways he's provided for you. And that is terrific. But God had a bigger plan than that for the children of Israel. He wanted the entire nation to experience the breakthrough power of God, the goodness of God, and the power of God, so that together they could testify, not just to their generations, but to all of human history from that point on. This would also connect the generations together and cause them to know together that Hashem is in fact the Lord. You will be able to tell your son and your grandson, your daughter and your granddaughter about what I did to Egypt, and so that you will all know that I am Adonai. Now, this is interesting because it sounds at first like God is interested in impressing Pharaoh with his own authority, but it turns out God actually wants to make a point with all the children of Israel so that everyone, including those who are not inclined to be spiritual or to be religious or observant or however you want to measure it or describe it, so that everyone would say, the Lord God is the Lord Almighty. That was his plan. He wanted everyone to have a testimony, no matter their age or their gender. He wanted them to know that his power and faithfulness were at work. Now, this kind of resistance from Pharaoh was also meant to give a testimony to the next generation so that one generation would declare God's works to another generation. In fact, as we read the story in Exodus, the Passover celebration is meant to create an opportunity where our children and our grandchildren say, why are we doing this? Why are we eating matzah? Why can't we eat bread like everybody else? Why are we having this Passover Seder? Why are we doing these things? The whole idea is to create a setup for dialogue between generations within a family. Because that's that connection, one generation telling the next generation about God, one generation talking about God's faithfulness to the next generation. This is a key to God's plan. Now, there may be times when you have difficulty and you're wondering, what on earth, Lord, are you trying to do? And it may be he wants to give you a testimony for the next generations so that you can tell your children, your grandchildren, your friends' children and grandchildren, the little kids you know, the teenagers you know, the young adults you know, about how God has been faithful to you. When I think about the children in our congregation, I want to keep all this in mind. We want to teach them as a community, as a congregation. We want to give them knowledge of their history, their language, their land, their people. Not just ancient history, but modern history. We want to see a connection. Thank you, Rabbi Uri, for making that connection and showing parallels between the modern history of HaShoah and the ancient history of the Exodus. You see, we need to see that. We need to learn the Exodus and the founding of the modern state of Israel. We need to learn biblical Hebrew, and we need to learn modern Israeli Hebrew. We need to learn the story of Purim, and we need to learn the history of the Holocaust. We need to know about the promised land for ancient Israel and the homeland for the modern Jewish people. We need to learn about biblical heroes and modern heroes of the Jewish people, the biblical history of the Jewish people and current events in history of the Jewish people today. We need both sides, not just one, but both. And we want our children, we want our grandchildren, we want the young people in our community to have living faith, to know the Lord personally. Isn't that right? Don't you want the people in your family to know the Lord? To know him personally? To know the Lord so that they can walk faithfully with him? Don't you want everyone in your family to love God as much or more than you do? So that they don't say, well, you love the Lord, that's good, that's enough for me. We want everyone in our family to know the Lord in a messianic Jewish way, faithful to Yeshua and faithful to our Jewish people. And we want everyone in our families to know the Lord so that they're able to pass on their faith and a personal relationship with God to their own children and to their grandchildren. And all of this requires that we have vision and that we work together for such purposes. So you and I need faith and we need knowledge. And we're going to grow in both as we enter into the new chapters of 2015. It's one thing to have faith, but we're supposed to grow in knowledge too. We have to know our history. We have to know what's going on with our people these days. Now, Peter is an example of how this same vision carries forward into the time of the apostles, because Peter understood on Shavuot, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, that this was connected to the resurrection of Yeshua and his return to heaven, but he also understood it was connected to God's vision and promises for the Jewish people, as the prophet Joel had put it. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Acts chapter 2, where Peter is quoting Joel, and he's saying, what's going on right now, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, is the fulfillment of what the prophet Joel said. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Say that with me. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women. Say that with me. Both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and the glorious day of the Lord. And then verse 21, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Say that with me. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You see, this is what is in the heart of God. This is what Joel prophesied. This is what Peter said was happening in front of their eyes. People were calling on the name of the Lord to be saved because the Holy Spirit was being poured out just as God had promised. And it was the Holy Spirit was being poured out on what age group in particular? All. What age group? All. Kids? All. Men? All. Women. What about women? All. What about free people versus unfree? All. How about old guys? All. That's right. All. That was the plan of God. Do you see the connection, how God was working at the time of Yeshua and how he was working at the time of the Exodus? Who did he want to reach? Everyone. Who did he want to go with him? Everyone. You see, one of our challenges as a people today is to get in mind that vision for every age group, for male and female, boys and girls, young and old, because God's plan encompasses all of them. We're not wanting to have a ministry to just one age group. We're not wanting to have a congregation that's built around only the same kinds of people. We're called to be diverse, like families are diverse, and yet we're called to have order, like families are called to have order. And God wants to work in a powerful way, and it takes us having vision. We have to see that and we have to want it, because when we see it and we want it, you know what? We will pray for that and we will give ourselves to the vision. We'll work freely. In the day of the Lord's power, the people volunteer freely. So you know what that means? In times of great outpouring, people freely volunteer. But what if it's not a time of great outpouring? You can turn it into one. How? Volunteer freely, right? It will become the day of God's power when you freely volunteer. Going further into Acts chapter 16, one verse stands out. Verse 31. They said, believe in the Lord Yeshua. And when it says believe, it means trust him and live faithfully to him. And you will be saved, you and your household. Say that with me. You and your household. Do you see that encompassing view that the apostles had? It's not just that an individual is supposed to get right with God and get saved. It's that a family, a household, multiple generations will come to know the Lord and to walk with the Lord. Why? Because it's the plan of God to raise up a whole nation made up of families that are faithful in order to reach a world with faith. Isaiah 54:13. This is a good one for us. Isaiah 54, verse 13 says, all your children will be taught of the Lord, and the shalom, the well-being of your children, will be great. How many of you who have kids and grandkids would like their shalom and their well-being to be great? Who's in favor of that? Okay, here's the key. They need to be taught of the Lord. So How do we do that? As families, we take responsibility for it. But it's not just families. It's a community together, working together. And then it says, in tzedakah, in righteousness, in justice, in charity, you'll be established. I like that. The children will be taught of the Lord, and they will have shalom that will be great. And then what's the key to being established? It's this being taught of the Lord, because it will produce righteousness before God, it will produce justice, and it will produce charity. When you say the word tzedakah, you're talking about all three of those things, not just one, but all three. Now, in this week's portion in the Torah, we read about all the events that are leading up to Passover and the exodus out of Egypt, out of slavery, and the challenges of becoming a free people in covenant with God, serving the Lord with all of our hearts, with all of our minds, and with all of our strength. And Passover is to become for us part of our lifestyle, part of our own history, part of our family tradition, part of the life of faith that we give to our children and our grandchildren. I love celebrating Passover. I love celebrating Passover with little kids. I love celebrating Passover with all different age groups and with people at different levels of faith and trust. You know why? It's such a great opportunity to share faith in a wonderful way and in a wonderful time. The teaching of our Jewish sages is this: you have not fulfilled your responsibility at Passover until you feel that you yourself had been delivered from Egypt. So if it's God delivered them, the Passover Seder has to continue until you get to the point that you feel like God delivered you. Now, remembering what we read in Exodus earlier this evening, Moses had to do his part, God had to do his part, the children of Israel had to do their part. There are no spectators in the life of faith. No one just sitting on the sidelines. When the children of Israel were called on that first Passover, that last night in Egypt, everyone had to make a decision. Am I going to be faithful to God? Am I going to do what he said? And am I going to gather with my family and fulfill the exact directions that God said? No one sat on the sidelines that day. Everyone said, count me in. I'm in. You know, when God calls you, in these days, it's very similar. He calls you to join in. He calls you to become active. I remember when I first began to believe in God and to accept that Yeshua was Messiah and Adonai, it became really personal. There were serious questions. Would I really say yes to the Lord? Would I give my whole heart to him? Would I put my hope and my trust in him? Was I willing to count the cost about what it would take to follow him? Would I really acknowledge that I needed forgiveness? That was a tough one. I was a pretty good guy. How many of you were good guys when you were growing up? I was a good guy. Some of you were. Some of you were terrible. But some of you ladies, some of you guys, you were pretty good. And you thought of yourself as having, you know, integrity and character and you know, some good qualities. And yet, I remember asking this question, what do I need forgiveness for? Because I could compare myself to another person who I was better than. Have you ever done that? And you say, you know what, I'm better than him, I'm okay. I haven't done what he did, I'm okay. I'm not like she is, I'm okay. But if we're going to come to God, really, we have to stop doing that. We can't just compare ourselves to other people. We have to allow him to measure us according to his perfect holiness. And that means we're going to have to face the serious question. What do I need forgiveness for? I asked this question, would I really begin the life of faith and not turn back? What would I say to the Lord? What would I tell myself? What would I tell other people? What would I tell my family? What would I say to my rabbi who came to me and said, Jews don't believe in Jesus. You can't be Jewish and do this. And I said, but I am and I do. Those were big questions. And when I knew I was ready, I moved forward. I said yes to the Lord. I let him and his word become authoritative in my life. I joined a congregation. I received the Holy Spirit. I was immersed in water. It was a new chapter in my life and a time for a new me. You see, faith in God is not just a matter of doctrine or belief. It touches your actions, what you do, what you give yourself to, what you do for your children and your grandchildren, what you do for the children and the grandchildren of the whole community. On that first Passover that we read about in Exodus, every Jewish person had to make a decision. Will I trust God and do what he says? And at that moment, trust was not religious trust. It wasn't doctrinal trust. It wasn't theoretical trust. It was real life trust. Am I going to do what he says? It was a powerful moment. And through this, God brought us freedom and a brand new future so that we could live in freedom before God and discover what our real futures are about. It's one thing to be saved from your sin. That is great. But you have to ask yourself, then what? It's in order to live a life before God that has an impact on other people, that demonstrates the goodness of God, that reveals, that shows God's goodness, that connects to God so that whatever he wants to do in you and through you, he can do. You know, the parents of Moses saw that he was beautiful when he was born. They protected him. But they didn't know who he would become. They didn't know he was going to turn into Moses, the Moses we know. The Moses. The Moses you see in the movies. They didn't know it would take Charlton Heston to play Moses. They had no idea. It wasn't Moses' plan, it was God's plan. None of us can fully know who we will become in him, but we can determine that we will become his and that we will be new. When you have children, when you have grandchildren, you have ideas. You know, it's so funny. Parents, when they, you know, they hear the news that they're going to have a baby, they're often thinking, oh, this one's going to be a doctor, and this one's going to be a lawyer, an accountant, a dentist, a professor, a businessman. And the closer you get to the delivery date, the more their prayers change to, let them be normal. Let them be born at the right time. Let them live. And then after they're born, okay, a doctor, a lawyer, an Indian chief once again. You see, we hold those two things. We want normalcy. We need it. We want their special calling and ability to be fulfilled. And that's in God's hands. And we have a part to do in raising our children to fulfill what he has in mind. So as you're preparing for new chapters in your life, I want you to keep these things in mind, because your new chapters are not only about you, they're about us. They're not only about us together, they're about all of us who are coming after us and waiting for us, who need the foundations and need the inheritance that we can pass on to them. It's my hope that you'll take this seriously, and that you'll see that the work of God is meant to touch all ages, all generations, and ages to come following our life. That's my hope and my prayer. Lord, we pray for vision. We pray for wholeheartedness, that we would learn to see beyond ourselves and to see beyond the immediate environment that we're in, and to see what you're wanting to do, to see your vision. And Lord, let it be that we have the heart that you were putting into Moses, that would have concern for sons and daughters, grandsons and granddaughters, for young and old, for boys and girls, and for men and women, and that we would have a desire to serve you together in order to demonstrate your faithfulness as Abba. We pray this in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. You can rise. Don't stand by yourself. Don't stand alone. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ye'er Adonai p'navei lecha v'ichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'navei lecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his shalom in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom.